Welcome, Saints. Welcome to the family time. We're glad you were able to join us. What we'd like to do is we're going to have a couple of prayers. I'll pray, then Brother Isai will pray. Then Brother Tim will be introducing Brother Peter for us. And we'll be, for those who just recently joined, be going to around just a little before and ending it right at 4:15, where we'll have, for those who are participating, the overflow time in the homes. Oh, Lord Jesus, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, thank you for this time.
Amen.
Lord, we corporately open to you.
Amen.
Lord, thank you. You're here with us. Oh, amen. We open to your speaking.
Amen.
Lord, speak again to every family.
Amen.
You're the God of whom every family on earth, in heaven and on earth, is named.
Amen.
Lord, we do give you our families.
Amen.
And Lord, we give you this time.
Amen.
Have the full freedom to speak what you want to speak.
Amen.
We'd like to open our hearts to you right now.
Amen.
You could have a way to go on in each one of us.
Amen. Right.
You could have a way to go on with every family.
Right.
Lord, you could have a way to go on with every child.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you,
Lord. Yes. Lord, we do thank you, Lord.
Amen.
We thank you that you're the God of all encouragement.
Amen.
Lord, we'd like to go on with you, Lord.
Amen.
Your heart's desires for every family, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for your household, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we do give you this time of fellowship, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we like to be in spirit on the Lord's day.
Yes.
Amen.
Lord, we like to receive from your speaking, Lord.
Amen.
We like to be open to hear what the Spirit is speaking to us, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we pray, strengthen our brother to be one spirit with you, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, do flow out during this time of fellowship, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, reach us all, Lord.
Amen.
Encourage us all to continue to, just bring our families to you, Lord.
Amen.
We just open and we're here presenting ourselves to you.
Amen, Lord.
We thank you, Lord, for this time. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I don't know if Brother Tim was able to join us. He was traveling. And so anyway, Brother Peter, we're really glad you were able to to join us. And we're just eager to hear what the Lord would share with us through this time. And we want to give you the complete liberty. Now, I know in the past we've had it where some of us would unmute our mics. Maybe you can kind of, if you have any directions or any help with us related to that, let us know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you. That would be very good. If there could be some who could do two things. Number one, unmute your mic. And then number two, don't be afraid to say amen.
Amen.
Because, you know, the hardest part about speaking on Zoom is that you're so far away, and it's hard to get a sense of what is being received and what is helpful. And so we like those that hear, right, according to 1 Corinthians 14, to say amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother
Amen.
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 Amen. He's the amen. Well, saints, there's a lot on my heart And I think I need to stop right at 4 o'clock or prior to.
Actually, even just a little after 4 is fine. Four,
Okay.
even up to 4:10 would be fine.
Okay. Okay, because I would really hope to hear some overflow or response, if that's okay.
Sure.
Amen.
Okay. Well, Saints, we'd like to hit 2 points with you this afternoon, and it's so good to be with you again. I told the Saints a few nights back that I feel like I'm an honorary member of the church in Austin. I hope that's okay, because it's just so good to be in fellowship with you all.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So the two main points, I guess if there was an outline, it would be the two main Roman numerals of this fellowship would be number one, family. And
Amen.
then number two, the house of God. So number one, family, and then number
Amen.
two, the house of God. And we might spend most of our time on the first point, but we're for the second point. The family. We're not here focused on the family. The family is for the church. And so Watchman Nee made a strong point that most of the problems in the church are due to poor parenting, to problems with the parents. And so I'd like to start just by letting you all know. There will be no stones thrown in any of this fellowship. We have all dropped our stones. We're clear. Nobody's perfect here. And we just need the Lord and His mercy, right, for our kids.
Amen.
Okay, so the first thing under family is that we as parents need to pick up the responsibility of being both patterns and priests. Patterns and priests. I don't know how many of you were able to view that video on John and James Payton.
Right.
If not, it's I think it's still up on our homepage, thebibletellsmeso.com. I'd very much encourage you, if you can, to view that. It's about 19 minutes long, so it's not too long. But what it does is we went all the way to Scotland to look into the life of a particular father of 11 children. His name is James Payton. And we went there to look into his life because Watchman Nee, not once but twice, highly recommended him as a pattern for parenting. He said, I can think, he said, it's hard to find a father like Payton's father. And then later he said, I can think of no father like Peyton's father. So who is this one Peyton? This is John Peyton. He was one of the most famous missionaries of the 1900 of the 19th century. And he was called the missionary to the cannibals. He went to he was strongly saved as a child in a town called Torthorwald, Scotland. And I got to be careful not to spend all my time on John Payton, but there's a lot in his life. He was strongly saved. Hi, Brother Tim. Very good to see you, brother. Oh, I
Amen.
think you're on mute.
Good to see you. Sorry I'm late. Keep flowing.
Amen. Okay. He was strongly saved in a very Christian home in Torthorwald, Scotland. And then he went to get some training on how to be a Christian worker. And from there, well, actually, in that town, it was where he had a very successful work. He was so successful, as a matter of fact, that there were a certain group of people that wanted him to leave that town. They wanted John Peyton to go away, and those people were the owners of the saloons and bars. Because as a result of his preaching, people were stopped drinking. They stopped drinking, and the saloons were losing money. So Peyton was eventually called to be a missionary to the New Hebrides Islands, the New Hebrides Islands. And back then, they were entirely populated by cannibals. Missionaries went there about 10 years prior, and they got off of the large boat there and got into a small boat and went to shore. And while the large boat was still watching, they got to shore on the small boat, and the natives of the island came out to meet them. And while everybody on the ship was still watching, the natives of that island, in everybody's sight, Lord Jesus, they killed them and devoured them right there on the beach.
Wow.
And everybody saw that on the ship. So word spread all over Europe. Stay away from those islands. Be a missionary somewhere else, but not there. Well, this is where John Peyton felt called by the Lord to go. This is where he felt called by the Lord to go. It was said that when he arrived there, there were no Christians, only cannibals. And when he left, there were no cannibals, only Christians. So he was one of the most famous missionaries of the 19th century. But Watchman Nee doesn't point to him. Watchman Nee points to his father, James Peyton. And so we're sitting here in Huntsville, Texas, and we're thinking, who is this man? What kind of a life did he live? So we got his autobiography. We got John Peyton's autobiography, where he spends two chapters talking about his father. And like Watchman Nee must have been, we were deeply impressed. And so we felt we have to take a trip to Scotland and unveil this pattern of a God-man father. So if you haven't seen it, I hope I've spurred your interest. It's still up there on the homepage. But he was a pattern. He was a pattern in his love for the Lord. He was a pattern in his prayer. He was a pattern in how he spent time in the Word. And he was a pattern, which I really appreciated. He was a pattern in his humanity. He was not aloof. He was not some kind of spiritual, overcoming, superhero. He was a real person that you have to say lived a God-man life.
Amen.
So the first thing is, dear saints, as parents, we need to be patterns like this. And the second thing is, we need to be priests. We need to be priests. The first exercise of the priestly service was not by Aaron and his sons. It was on the night of the Passover, when
Right.
they were told to take a lamb and slaughter it And it was very specific what to do. Use some hyssop. Put the blood on the post of the door. How to cook that lamb. How to eat that lamb. It was very specific. And those instructions were given to every household. It was the household. It was the parents in that house who functioned as priests for that house. So the first exercise actually of the priesthood is parents, his parents. And Peyton was a real priest. Just to come back to him real quick, whenever there would be anything in his house or in their family life where there was a question about what to do, how to meet that need, he would retire to a kind of a closet. They lived in a small cottage, and he had a small closet within that cottage, and he would go in there, close the door, and all by himself in there, he would pour it all out to the Lord. He'd just pour it out. And the kids could hear him because it was a small room. They could hear him pouring it all out. Lord, oh Lord, we can't afford rent this month. What are we going to do about our rent? And he'd just pour it out. And they said that whenever the kids did anything wrong, before he would do any kind of punishment, he would go into the closet and he'd pour that out as well. And the kids said, they testified, this was the hardest thing. They would have preferred just to have been punished, but they had to go and listen because it was there in the house. They had to hear their father pour this out to the Lord. Lord,
Amen.
Lord Peter,
Oh,
my son Peter, he did
Lord.
that again. Lord, Lord, what should I do with Peter? I love Peter. Lord, I know you love him too. Forgive him. Lord, be
Amen.
merciful to Peter. And he just pour out
Amen.
about Peter. And Peter was listening. Actually, it wasn't Peter, it was John. John Peyton was listening to this, and he knew I better not do anything wrong because I'm going to have to listen to my dad pour out to the Lord about what I did. Anyway, that stayed with him his whole life. It was something. So we need to be patterns and priests, but I don't feel at all that James, Peyton was perfect in every way. There must have been a number of times where he would go and pour out his own shortcomings as well. Lord, forgive me for losing my temper again. Lord, I hate this. I hate this. You have to come in. And the kids would hear that too. He was described as being altogether human, altogether human. And it's really true to err is human. We just all are like this. So here's my point with this is many times when we hear about being a pattern, we might think, well, I am automatically disqualified. I cannot speak then anything to my kids because I'm a failure. And saints, it's not okay that we fail. It's not okay. This should drive us for in sincere, real prayers Lord,
Amen.
how could I behave like that again in front of my children? I hate this. Lord, come in. Really, break through. Come in. But, saints, we can't let our failures disqualify us from being patterns and priests and from caring for our kids. I mentioned this because in Poland last year at the Poland conference, I was there and I had just come from Scotland learning so much about James Payton. And so I was overflowing about his pattern, right? How he was like this and like this. And one of the fathers said to me privately, he said, "Brother Peter, I agree with you, but this is why I never say anything to my kids. I never speak to them about the Lord or help them in these things because I'm clear I'm not a James Payton. And I feel like a hypocrite saying something." And I realized we got to be careful about this. Raise your hand if you are perfect and upright. If you never err. Let's see a show of hands. There shouldn't be a single hand up. A lot of your videos are off, but I can tell. I hope there's no hands up.
Right.
Right? Who's
That's right.
qualified to do this?
Right.
Of course, we know there's only one person who's perfect, and that life is available to us, but it's a process. And so I don't know if this was okay in Poland, and I don't know if it's okay even right now, but I used the example of Eli. So here's this need on the earth. There's a need. There's a need to change the age from the degraded priesthood to the kingship. The priesthood has become degraded, and now Eli and his kids are the pinnacle of that degradation. And Eli's children are the worst, right? Remember, I mean, my goodness, unspeakable the things that they did as priests. And here's
Right.
Eli himself, not really a success of a man or a father. Yet the Lord has a need.
Right.
The Lord has a need. He needs to change the age. And so little Samuel is offered to Eli. He's offered to Jehovah and handed over to Eli. And so here's Samuel. And he's sleeping in the Holy of Holies, which I just love. I don't know how that works out according to God's righteousness. And I mean, the priest, the high priest, is the only one who could enter there. And after a lot of preparation and even then, they had to have a rope, right, onto
Right.
him. Anyway, in case he was just stricken down by God's holiness, they would pull him out. But here's little Samuel. Every night, he'd go in and sleep in front of the ark in the Holy of Holies. I love this. It gives new meaning to let the children come to me, right? I mean, they have special access, it seems. And
Right.
so Samuel just, that's where he slept. And one night he was sleeping there and he heard Samuel, Samuel. And he never heard that before. He didn't know what that was. So he went to Eli and he said, "Yes, what is it?" And Eli's like, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." And he went back to bed. And it came again, Samuel, Samuel. And he goes back to Eli. So this happens, right? I think three times. And the third time it happens, he goes back to Eli. What is it, Eli? And Eli's a little slow. It took three times. But he is a priest. And it seems like he had some sense of what's happening. Even Eli in his situation. Now, here's the thing. He has a sense that's Jehovah. That's
Right.
God. That sounds like it's God. Aren't
Amen.
you glad that Eli didn't say, that's God speaking to Samuel, but who am I to say anything to Samuel about God? Look at my kids. What a terrible father I am. I just shouldn't say anything. I'm disqualified. Aren't
Right.
you glad he didn't have that sense?
Yes.
He said, that's the Lord. And Samuel, this is what you do when the Lord speaks. This is what you say. You say, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. That's what you say, Samuel. So you go back there, and if he calls you again, that's what you say. Saints, this made Samuel Samuel. You look at his whole life. His whole life was, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Samuel spoke things that no one else would speak. Samuel was faithful to speak what the Lord spoke to him. He was listening his whole life. And that's what a prophet is.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Wonderful.
Can a few more of you take your mics off of mute? I think there's a few more amens that,
Amen.
I mean,
Right.
Amen. What
Hallelujah.
a wonderful thing. Could you imagine if Eli would have said, oh, I'm a failure. I'm disqualified. Yes, Eli, you're a failure and you're about to meet the Lord because you're just a mess. But thank you for saying something. Thank you for saying something. Saying sometimes we have to speak with our kids in the midst of our failures because the responsibility is on us, the parents, to be the patterns and the priests.
Amen.
And if you, like all of us, are failures, you can even open this up in a proper way. Son, it kills me that I can't get through in that particular thing. I'm struggling with this. Pray for me about this. But I'm still going to help you in the Lord. And I still love the Lord. And let's help each other on. Neither of us can unplug. Let's plug in and go on.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So, dear saints, dear parents, we cannot shirk our responsibility of being patterns and priests. And don't let your failures disqualify you. Seek the Lord to get through in them. Your kids are such a help to shine on these things,
Amen.
to encourage you to get through. Let's get through together.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, second thing here family is really good. It's on the need of a vision.
Amen.
Remember that word, vision?
Amen.
This is
Amen.
one of those words and things that sometimes we lose
Right.
track of. It's kind of like saying, Lord Jesus, I love you.
Amen.
I remember one time I was in my car and I just said, Lord Jesus, I love you. And he was like, thank you. There was such a sweetness with that. And I thought, why was that so sweet? And then I recalled I hadn't said that in months. I was so busy working, so busy laboring and serving. I forgot to tell the Lord I loved him. Husbands, don't forget to tell your wives you love her. You know? It'd be good. Even right now, if you'd like to, just say, sweetheart, I love you.
Amen. Honey, I love
I
you.
mean, we do all this stuff for them, right? We work, we whatever, but don't forget. And don't forget, we need a vision. We need a vision. I never saw this until this afternoon. Listen to this. This is something. We all know this. This is Proverbs 29, 18. And it says this, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. Right? We know that verse. Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. But I never noticed this before. The verse right before that. So, what's the context of where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint? Well, the verse right before that, verse 17 says, correct your son and he will give you rest. How about that? He will also give delight to your soul. So we're there. Should we behave like this? Should we lose our temper again? Should we do this or that that may not be such and such a pattern? Well, that's a great time for your vision to be restored.
Amen.
If you could remember your vision and see it afresh in the midst of your family life, then it won't be so easy to cast off restraint.
Right.
Amen.
Should I cast off
Amen.
restraint and lose my temper with my kids? Then your vision is refreshed. No, I won't do it. I won't do it because I've got a vision.
Amen.
And then spontaneously, your son received the correction. It's so good. Our children are not a hindrance for us to go on with the Lord. They're a help for us to walk with the Lord.
Amen.
But we got, it's so good. It would be so good if we could refresh our vision. And so I wrote down a few notes that I'd just like to read, okay? These are questions and things that I didn't want to forget, so I just made some notes. First one is, brothers and sisters, how is your vision? We need a vision checkup.
Amen.
Another word for vision is dream.
Dream.
Brothers and sisters, what do we dream about these days? Really? Right? What do we dream about? What is
Right.
the treasure of our heart? Whatever's in our heart, whatever our heart treasures, our mouth will speak. It'll be the topic of the conversation around the dinner table. Whatever's in our heart, whatever our dream is, it's gonna come out. And our kids are picking up on all of it. It can't just be, here's some more sentences. It can't just be merely the raising up of our kids as good kids. We want our kids to be good and to be preserved, but that can't be our dream. That can't be the extent of it. God desires a seed, according to Malachi 2:15. He desires the seed of God, and he desires that for a purpose.
Right.
So we should spend some time. It would be a healthy practice if the husbands and the wives, maybe in private, could spend a little time to remind each other, what is our dream? What is our vision? Is it the same as when we were in the FTTA? Has that waned? Or is that still it? What is it? Because whatever it is, according to Acts 26:19, that vision has a kind of authority over us. The vision is really the thing that makes all the decisions, where we live, where we go, what we do. It's all controlled by the vision.
Amen.
Paul said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision.
Amen.
This is where we get the thought. This is from this verse is where we get the thought, a controlling vision. And whether it's a heavenly vision or an earthly vision, we have to admit our vision controls us. What we do, how many jobs do we have, where we live, it's all controlled by our dream. And it's good to just be honest because the Lord knows what our dream is. Just say, well, sweetheart, it seems like for some time now, our dream has been such and such. I don't want to say anything. It's been such and such. And it may be not so heavenly. And have that talk. Is that who we are?
Oh, I'm sorry. What did that bring?
I don't think that's who you are. We're not in the recovery for any of those earthly things. Being in the recovery is too costly. You pay too much of a price. For sure, you all have seen at least something of a heavenly vision. Rekindle this, refresh it, and then speak about this. Even if you can't do it, if your vision was to move to China and be a missionary there, and you could never do it, speak about that to your children. You know, your mom and dad would have loved to move to China, but we never could. But that's our heart. That's what Hudson Taylor's parents did. And that planted a seed of China in Hudson. And although his parents couldn't, he did. Because that seed of a dream, of a vision, was planted in him because his parents spoke the dream.
Amen.
So, parents, speak the dream at home. Okay, we're getting pretty close here to the end. Let me read a quote from the Life Study of Genesis, message 111. It says this: many of my Christian friends consider me a dreamer. This is Brother Lee. Hallelujah for dreamers. My wife calls me a dreamer all the time.
Amen.
My wife was afraid to dream when we got married. She was afraid to dream. She said, "I've always been afraid to dream. Then I married you and I had no choice. I had to dream along with you. Many of my Christian friends consider me a dreamer. In talking about the overcoming life and the practice of the church life, they have said to me, 'Brother Lee, these are wonderful ideas, but they are just dreams.'" In just a few minutes, we're going to be talking about the practice of the one piece church life. I tell you, that's a wonderful dream. Share this dream with us. Let's speak this dream, a one piece church life.
Amen.
Oh, gain it, Lord.
Amen.
We must wait. Let's see. No one can live. This is what they say. But they are just dreams. No one can live such a victorious life on this earth. And it is impossible to have the practice of the church life. We must wait for that day. Let's not dream anymore. Rather, let's wake up from the dreams. This is what they say. But I not only have dreams, I practice what I see in my dreams. You may think that I am merely a dreamer, but I am also one who fully puts my dreams into practice. I can testify that it is very possible to have an overcoming life and to have the practical church life. This is not simply my dreams. It is my practice and my experience. Like Joseph, I had had some dreams, the dream of the sheaves and the bright stars. But by the Lord's mercy, I have lived according to my dreams. I have behaved and conducted myself according to the vision I have seen. Although some say these are merely dreams without any possibility of fulfillment, I must declare that these are heavenly revelations of the facts. Do you not believe that the victorious life is entirely possible? And do you not believe that the practical church life is available today? We are not dreaming in vain. We have a vision that controls us. We
Amen.
all know what it is to lose our temper, he says. I am no exception. It is not a good thing to keep our temper within us. On the contrary, in a sense, we feel better when we give vent to it. However, when I'm about to lose my temper with my kids, I insert that, or my wife, I insert that as well. When I'm about to lose my temper, the vision of the sheaves comes, and the Lord asks me, "Are you a sheaf rising up? If you are, then what about your temper?" As soon as the Lord speaks to me in this way, and I respond to him, my anger is gone. Even if I wanted to lose my temper, I would not be able to do so. It is possible for us to all live without anger and loss of temper. As you are about to lose your temper, the Lord may say, "Are you a sheaf? Are you one in the church, in the Lord's recovery?" As soon as you say that you are a sheaf, your anger will vanish.
Amen.
So this is why we need to be, as parents, we need to be priests, patterns, and we need to have a vision, a fresh, clear vision. Okay. Now, if we live that way at home, then what we will see is that our living at home will have an impact on the church life where we are. And even if our dream is for the one piece church life, this will affect the decisions we make, who we invite over, what we're involved with. Maybe we should help out with the college. Maybe we should help out with the children. What can we do? We can seek the fellowship with the elders. How do we work this out? How do we work out the dream? Because the one piece, and then I'll stop with this, the one piece is really, it happens in the church line. It's the linking up. It's the relationships between. It's the mutual care of all the ages without any barriers, without need of any transitions from one work to the next, because you're growing up in the family of God, in the house of God. And what you're speaking at home is being lived out on a larger scale in the church life. Isn't this a dream?
It's 3:49.
Amen.
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 And saints, I'm so encouraged. I feel like Austin is really on this road. You're
Amen.
really on this road of the one piece church line. I would say, dream on.
Amen.
Amen.
Hello. Brothers and sisters in Austin, dream on.
Amen.
Our family life, our children is all for this. And even if you go somewhere, even if you migrate somewhere, what are you going to bring?
Right.
Let's bring this. We've got to break through in this. We've got to break through in the practical, daily, one piece church life where everybody is covered and cared for in love, where there's no distinction between the older ones and the younger ones, where we meet from house to house in simplicity of heart and all the needs are met. This is a heavenly vision. This is a heavenly vision. And our
Amen.
children are part of it. Our children are not the dream. They're not the whole thing. They're part of it. But if we can raise a generation of children raised up like this, when they go to serve, talk about arrows in the hand. They will propagate this all over the earth because this will be all they know. Okay, I'm getting crazy again.
Amen.
But let's, Lord Jesus,
Amen.
Amen.
get through in us in our home life, in our daily living, in our children.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
For the one piece church life. Okay, I'll stop here. I really would like to hear some response from my fellow dreamers on this.
Amen.
Is that okay, Tim? Brother Tim?
Yeah, it's great. Wonderful. Dream. Let's hear from the dreamers.
Amen.
Thank you, Peter.
Amen.
Dream about the one piece.
Yeah. One piece.
Amen.
It's generational. The Lord's promise is generational.
Yes,
So what he's
that's right.
promised us in the church life is to our kids and our grandkids.
That's right.
Yeah, so we have a dream. We need to pass this dream on.
Amen.
Cause them the
Amen.
dream. Dream the dreams.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We care for them in our homes. We care for them in the church.
Right.
We support the one piece so they can
Amen.
see their family.
Right.
They can hear the
Amen.
dreams.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the
Amen.
Lord.
Amen.
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 Amen. I like this also, saints. I've considered this some. In the Proverbs, there's some speaking it apparently negative. It says there is a generation.
Yeah.
It's like this and like this.
Right.
And the Lord also says, this generation will not pass away until all these things come to pass. But in the Lord, as the new creation,
right?
He says, unless you become like a little child, you will not enter into the kingdom of the heavens.
Right.
So it's very, yeah, amen. It's very precious. I feel it's very precious.
Yeah, amen.
Just one last thing. I don't know if this is related, but the brothers sharing on the priesthood with the college students. One of the things they shared is we have authority, just like Melchizedek, we have authority to do two things, that is to intercede.
Yeah.
To intercede, right? To minister.
Right.
To minister the Lord as food, right? What Melchizedek did.
Right.
I feel also that's very precious.
Amen. Very good. Amen.
Well, saints, we do have some more time if there's others at the overflow. Or maybe Brother Peter, if they have some questions.
Sure. One thing that was particularly helpful is to see the spontaneity of this. When something is on your heart, you can't help but speak about it.
Right.
It just comes out. And so it's not a small thing if our vision would be restored.
Amen. And
maybe even have a new vision to the extent that it would be on our heart and on our lips. We would speak about these things.
Amen.
How that would uplift our families and our
Amen.
You know, since, I have in my Bible the word dream written from a conference or from some ministry a while ago.
Yes.
And it says, the principle of a dream is that something impossible happens. And I just feel like there's been an infusion of encouragement and realization that we are a people who...
Right.
Because of the Lord, can bring this dream into reality, can bring this vision into reality. We have to be that people.
Amen.
I have grown children, and I have grandchildren. One is in the full-time training right now, enjoying it with every part of his being. He just loves it. The other two are here in the church in Austin. Again, enjoying the church life. And my prayer, my tears, whole being is for them to live what you have been sharing, brother.
Amen.
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 And the same for all the saints. You know, when I raise my kids, I pray for our young people, our college age, our young families. I mean, we need, like you said, the whole church life, all ages.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Dear saints, I do have my wife and I, we have three children, and two of them are now teenagers, and one is in their first year in college. And I really appreciate the encouragement this afternoon, both from both just to see again the responsibility or the need to pick up the responsibility to be patterns and priests.
Right.
And I'm just so encouraged just to see at first there in Exodus, it was the responsibility of the head of the household to provide, follow all the responsibility to how to both sacrifice the lamb and how to skin it, how to cook it, how to everything it, as a provision to his household. And obviously that head of the household did it for the sake of his children, not only the parents, but the children. And I'm just so encouraged also just to see that if, you know, we can't disqualify ourselves. We cannot disqualify ourselves. And I just appreciate the example with Eli. Surely the priesthood was waning at that time, but the Lord raised up a young Samuel, a child.
Amen.
And I just appreciate Eli's faithfulness just to provide the instruction that that young child needed in order to transition from the priesthood to the kingship eventually. And I'm just full of encouragement this afternoon to continue just to speak to our children, to continue to, in the midst, whether we feel we're a failure, I still have to speak. I still have to talk to my children. And I feel like I've had a number of those chats this week where I felt like I was a failure. The Lord is my witness. And just one fresh one last night, you know, but I was just thankful for the Lord that I still can speak to my children, you know.
Amen.
And we have to be faithful to the Lord in regards to speaking to them about both the Lord and more importantly, even praying for our children. I feel this is a big matter. Yeah. Right. But anyway, I'm just encouraged this afternoon, saints. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. I'm encouraged as well. Thank you, Brother Peter. Hey. Peter was my serving one in junior high and high school.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Is that we have to speak to our children in the midst of our failures because we are priests and prophets.
Amen.
Right.
And the two verses came to mind. 1 Thessalonians 1:5b, even as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake.
Amen.
And 1 Timothy 4:12, be a pattern to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity.
Amen.
And we need to realize that, you know, in the long run, our failures do not matter, but it's our person that matters.
Amen.
And I feel like in our family, the Lord has given me so many opportunities to have to be very real with my children in the failures. I homeschool them. So we're seriously together every hour, except 3 hours of an entire week. And I am learning to tell them that I'm sorry and to tell them that God hears me, forgives me, and forgets. And that even when I do think like lose my temper over and over with them, I still practice to tell them that I'm sorry and that I'm working on it, you know, just for them to see a pattern of God's forgiveness is huge. And I pray with my little boy, actually both of them, every night. I read to them and put them to bed. And Micah has the simplest little prayers, but I can tell he listens and he hears when I apologize and ask the Lord to forgive me, because he'll pray little things like, Lord, I'm sorry for all those bad things today. And thank you, you forgot, and tomorrow's a new day.
Wow.
And it's just so simple. That he realizes that no one will hold this against you. We're all failures, but yeah. I can turn around and enjoy the Lord and pray with a sister or go to a meeting. And those failures are not disqualifying me from living a life in the church life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
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 You know, Saints, if you're like me, I think we're all in the same boat. We feel like we're inadequate as parents. Yeah. And if you're watching that video on, is it James Payton? Is that the dad?
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Watching that video on the life of James Payton, you might feel even more convicted that you're a failure, but at the same time inspired by that story. What a pattern. But I also realized that John Payton was raised in such an atmosphere that he got to witness his dad praying, offering all these things before the Lord, an atmosphere where his parents prayed together, loved the Lord, pursued the Lord, an atmosphere where he was able to attend the meetings and see other brothers and sisters living a godly life.
Right.
And you know, that was so necessary for him in his upbringing so that he could end up becoming the missionary that he was. But it's the same for our children. They need that atmosphere. They need that. They need to be witnesses to moms, dads, brothers, sisters, parents, grandparents, loving the Lord, pursuing the Lord, and aspiring to a godly life.
Amen.
And now more than ever, you know, if we don't give them that atmosphere, there is nothing like that out there in the world. It's not like John Payton's upbringing, where it was like wholesome, you know, out in the country. We're living in a treacherous world. So if we don't become that realm, if we don't become that church life, that family life that our young people are brought up in, they taste nothing. They will taste nothing else out there that comes close. Mm-hmm. So I was just touched. You know, we may feel like we're failures, we may feel inadequate, but together we are God's household, and our children can be brought up in this household and witness what it is to love the Lord, to pursue the Lord, to give our life and our time for the Lord. And I just appreciate it. May the Lord bring us on all together, not just on our individual household families, but also as the household of God, to provide this atmosphere and this pattern for our young ones.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I just wanted to share how much I was touched by that verse in Proverbs, because we've heard that verse. It's Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. And I've always applied this in terms of, you know, a vision of God's economy, of what, you know, we're here on the earth for, a vision of what the world condition is. But then if you apply it, and it's so sweet, it is the verse right before that. I had to go reread it. Correct your son and he will give you rest. He will also give delight to your soul. And I was just so touched that, you know, when we don't have a vision, well, what we need is a vision of our parenting, of our family life. And when we don't have it, when we're frustrated, you know, when our temper rises up, my tendency is just get through it. Just either like sometimes let it go, like who cares, or just I'm so tired. You know, we try to just make it through until bedtime or whatever. But we need a vision of who we are and who our family is. And what our family is to the Lord in the economy.
Right.
So I was just so touched that may the Lord really refresh our vision concerning our family life and the house of God as our family, especially as we go into, you know, the summer and all of these activities in the church here in Austin. That we would have this view that we would be restrained. We would allow the Lord to touch us. We would allow the Lord to touch us in our daily parenting and all the practical things and what that looks like and in our church life together. So I really appreciate this word. And I hope that the Lord can really follow it with his hand as we continue together.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, Lord. Amen.
Well, okay, I think I can't hear this word. Hey, I'm Reese, but I was going to say I was really enjoying a point, and although I do not have any children, I can speak according to the heavenly vision. So
amen.
I was just really enjoying this part on the heavenly vision and about how, well, I've been enjoying this matter of dreams and visions and just seeing how, yeah, like your dream is just what your heart is filled with. And like what your heart is filled with is what your dream is going to be. But also on this part of the vision, I was really enjoying how Paul, you know, he was faithful to the heavenly vision, but he's faithful to the heavenly vision and that he spoke the heavenly vision. And he says that I believe, therefore I speak. And it's like, I was just kind of enjoying how it's like, you can really only believe that which you speak, but you can only speak that which you believe. Like I can't be doing something outwardly and have everybody watching me and genuinely say like inside, I'm not doing it. Like, it's like, it doesn't really match up, but it's also like for me to believe something, I have to speak it. And it's like, I guess the example in the ministry was like Brother Lee was always talking about how if you, whatever you say the church life is, this is what the church life will be to you. This will be your experience. Like if I say, you know, like, oh, whatever, like, well, I'm at the brother's house or something. And if I say like, oh, it sucks and this and that. And then I go there, it's like all that I'm going to experience is death and it's going to suck. But if I speak according to the heavenly vision, which is the vision that is full of life, you know, all the members in there are sheaves of wheat. They're full of life. They're shining stars. My experience will be sheaves of wheat, full of life, shining stars. But I was enjoying, yeah, that matter about, yeah, I can only believe that which I speak and speak that which I believe. But also and to receive the heavenly vision, like we need to have the dream, but then we need to like speak it into being, like receive the Lord's word and experience this. And I was loving how it's like with the Lord, it's like, you know, first we confess with our mouth, but then we believe with our heart and we receive him. It's the same way with his word. It's like we eat him and thus we live him. And thus we need to eat Christ to live him today. But it's like even to receive this vision or receive his word, it's like, okay, we have the word from the Lord, but now we need to receive it by speaking it and enter into the experience, into the reality. So.
Amen. Very good.
Amen.
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 I also enjoyed really the matter about speaking the dream. I enjoyed what Brother Peter said about like, what do you speak around the dinner table? That's your dream. So that was kind of exposing because, you know, a lot of things happen around the dinner table. Anyways, just that we need to speak this, like we're working on this matter of the, you know, the pipe, the one piece, no breakages in the pipe. And, you know, even getting together with the saints, being with the different age groups, being with the saints with the same vision, with the same dream, it's really encouraging. And then speaking it is what, like we said, comes into fruition. Like we need to speak the dream. We need to believe it, what the Lord has for us here in Austin, in Texas, in the whole world. And just keep speaking the dream, just like Joseph did. Amen. We are all sheaves of wheat and shining stars. And we just need to keep speaking the dream.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Well, saints, in just a few minutes, we're going to need to transition over to the overflow time in the homes. But there's an announcement. I don't know, Brother Dan, maybe you can share that with us related to the family retreat.
Hey, saints. So we're going to just wanted to make a little reminder that we're going to continue this line of fellowship with Brother Peter. In early May 3rd through 5th, there's the family retreat. We're still accepting signups. We did have a late registration fee penalty, but we have removed that until the end of February. So all of the saints in Austin, you can sign up. And then starting March 1st, we're going to open up additional rooms that have not yet been booked to surrounding localities. So anyway, I think there's going to be some information on this in the link, not only in the announcements, but added here in the chat. So anyway, thank you, Brother Peter.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. I just added
let's
that.
Let's go on.
Amen. I just added that message there there to the chat window with its link. And I didn't know, Brother Tim, Brother Peter, if y'all maybe had any, but before we close, we have about a minute and a half, I think, before we actually end the session, if there was anything else y'all wanted to mention here before we end the Zoom portion.
Brother Tim?
Yeah, here's part of the dream. My Bible reading, Isaiah 59:21, says, "And as for me, this is my covenant." That's this is in Isaiah. "But as for me," which is me, capital M, God, Jehovah, "this is my covenant with them," says Jehovah. "My spirit, which is upon you, and my words, which I put in your mouth, shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your seed, nor from the mouth of your seed's seed."
Yes.
Amen.
"Now and forever."
Ever.
So the covenant is the spirit which is upon us, and the words which are in us shall not depart from our mouth, our seed's mouth, or our
seed's mouth.
Or the dream. Let us speak the dream.
Amen.
Oh, thank you.
Amen. Wonderful. Thank you, saints, so much.
Yes, thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Peter.
And thank you.
Thank you.
Amen.
Bye-bye now.
Brother.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
Amen.